Savitri, Book 7, the Book of Yoga, Canto 3, the Entry into the Inner Countries, First Part. At the end of Canto 2, Savitri saw how man grows until he transcends his earthly self and stands newborn in the largeness of his soul. She has seen the influence of our secret soul acting on us from its hidden chamber. She has reached the stage where her secret soul is present and acting, and she houses a portion of the Divine Mother who can work in her to help Earth to transform herself and equal Heaven. But the inferior nature, born into ignorance, still took too large a place. It veiled herself and must be pushed aside to find her soul. Now Savitri obeys a voice that spoke from secret heights, telling her to find her heaven-born soul in matter's body. At first, out of the busy hum of mind, as from a loud thronged market into a cave, by an inward moment's magic, she had come. A stark, hushed emptiness became herself. Her mind, unvisited by the voice of thought, stared at a void deep's dumb infinity. Her heights receded, her depths behind her closed. All fled away from her and left her blank. But when she came back to herself of thought, once more, she was a human thing on earth, a lump of matter, a house of closed sight, a mind compelled to think out ignorance, a life force pressed into a camp of works, and the material world her limiting field. Amazed like one unknowing, she sought her way out of the tangle of man's ignorant past that took the surface person for the soul. Then a voice spoke that dwelt on secret heights. For man thou seekst, not for thyself alone. Only if God assumes the human mind and puts on mortal ignorance for his cloak and makes himself the dwarf with triple stride, can he help man to grow into the God. As man disguised, the cosmic greatness works and finds the mystic inaccessible gate and opens the immortal's golden door. Man, human, follows in God's human steps. Accepting his darkness, thou must bring him to light. Accepting his sorrow, thou must bring him to bliss. In matter's body, find thy heaven-born soul. Then Savitri surged out of her body's wall and stood a little span outside herself and looked into her subtle being's depths, and in its heart, as in a lotus bud, divined her secret and mysterious soul. At the dim portal of the inner life that bars out from our depths the body's mind and all that lives but by the body's breath, she knocked and pressed against the ebony gate. The living portal groaned with sullen hinge. Heavily reluctant, it complained, inert against the tyranny of the spirit's touch. A formidable voice cried from within. Back, creature of earth, lest tortured and torn thou die. A dreadful murmur rose like a dim sea. The serpent of the threshold hissing rose, a fatal guardian hood with monstrous coils. The hounds of darkness growled with jaws agape, and trolls and gnomes and goblins scowled and stared. And wild beast roarings thrilled the blood with fear, and menace muttered in a dangerous tongue. Unshaken, her will pressed on the rigid bars. The gate swung wide with a protesting jar. The opponent powers withdrew their dreadful guard. Her being entered into the inner worlds. In a narrow passage, the subconscious gate, she breathed with difficulty and pain and strove to find the inner self concealed in sense. Into a dense of subtle matter packed, a cavity filled with a blind mass of power, an opposition of misleading gleams, a heavy barrier of unseeing sight, she forced her way through body to the soul. Across a perilous borderline she passed, where life dips into the subconscious dusk, or struggles from matter into chaos of mind, a swarm with elemental entities and fluttering shapes of vague half-bodied thought and crude beginnings of incontinent force. At first, a difficult narrowness was there, a press of uncertain powers and drifting wills, for all was there, but nothing in its place. At times an opening came, a door was forced. She crossed through spaces of a secret self and trod in passages of inner time. At last, she broke into a form of things, a start of finiteness, a world of sense, but all was still confused, nothing self-found. Soul was not there, but only cries of life. A thronged and clamorous air environed her. A horde of sounds defied significance, a dissonant clash of cries and contrary calls. A mob of visions broke across the sight, a jostled sequence lacking sense and sweet. Feelings pushed through a packed and burdened heart. Each forced its separate, inconsequent way, but cared for nothing but its ego's drive. A rally without key of common will, thought stared at thought and pulled at the taut brain, as if to pluck the reason from its seat and cast its corpse into life's wayside drain. So might, forgotten, lie in nature's mud, abandoned, the slain sentinel of the soul. So could life's power shake from it mind's rule, nature renounce the spirit's government, and the bare elemental energies make of the sense a glory of boundless joy, a splendor of ecstatic anarchy, a revel mighty and mad of utter bliss. This was the sense's instinct, void of soul, or when the soul sleeps, hidden, void of power. But now the vital Godhead wakes within and lifts the life with the supernal's touch. But how shall come the glory and the flame if mind is cast away into the abyss? For body without mind has not the light, the rapture of spirit sense, the joy of life. All then becomes subconscient, tenebrous. Inconscience puts its seal on nature's page, or else a mad disorder whirls the brain, posting along a ravaged nature's roads, a chaos of disordered impulses in which no light can come. No joy, no peace. This state now threatened, this she pushed from her. As if, in a long, endless, tossing street, one driven mid a trampling, hurrying crowd, hour after hour, she trod without release, holding by her will the senseless mute at bay. Out of the dreadful press, she dragged her will, and fixed her thought upon the Savior name. Then all grew still and empty. She was free. A large deliverance came, a vast, calm space. A while, She moved through a blank tranquility of naked light from an invisible sun, a void that was a bodiless happiness, a blissful vacuum of nameless peace.